Hi Rob, how are you doing?
Doing wonderful. Wow, what a great tour. We're blasting around the planet once again, promoting this beautiful new heavy metal masterpiece from Judas Priest, Invincible Shield, seeing all of our glorious heavy metal maniacs. We've already taken care of our Brits. We did a great British tour. We just went through a quick first leg of Europe, and now we're here in the beautiful USA, tearing the road up.
It sure is beautiful. The album is excellent.
Thank you. Who knew? 50 years later. Yeah, I'm using a reference. Judas Priest, we made our first ever record in 1974. There we were, a bunch of young guys starting this great life. No clue we would be here in 2024 with Invincible Shield, but that's the joy and the blessings of music, you know? It can take you to some extraordinary places and give you extraordinary lives. And that's what Judas Priest is living to the max right now.
And your first album in 6 years. What took so
Yes.
long?
Yeah, we got the COVIDs, which was a big, break song for the entire planet. Put a lot of things into perspective for a lot of us, didn't it? In many ways, I won't go into that. But anyway, so the COVIDs, then I had the book, Confess. Then I had my little cancer battle. And then we were able to get into making this wonderful record. So if you take all those bits out, it was about 3 years actually from record to record, which isn't too bad considering how many albums we've made. This is our 19th studio album. Here we are in just a glorious moment, a great renaissance for Judas Priest, and is somewhat of a renaissance for heavy metal. We are the source. This is where heavy metal came from. I make a point of that when we're on stage. I just give everybody a quick reminder that Judas Priest and Black Sabbath, our friends Black Sabbath, we started this, you know.
You
We
sure
started
did.
the heavy metal world. And those boys have got their feet up with the drink with an umbrella in it somewhere. We're still out on the road. For Ian and myself, the founding members in our septuagenarian years, it's just glorious. We're so happy and we're so content and we're so blessed.
Yeah, it is so good. It is really heavy. It's fantastic. The first song reminded me a little bit of Rush. Are there some Rush nods in there?
Hey, that's so cool that you picked up on that. You know, when Richie sent me some of the files, I thought of two things. I thought of the Turbo album because it has a little bit of a synthesizer reference, guitar
Yes.
synth
Yeah.
reference to the Turbo album. And I also thought of Tom Sawyer, and I thought, can we do this? You know, can we do this? Hey, we're all massive Rush fans. We love that band. So if there's a little bit of an homage and a bit of a tinge of a reference, hey, that's good. You do whatever you need to do to get the best moments out of a song.
Very cool. Do they know about it?
I don't know. We've known Geddy and the guys for as long as we've all been around together. I would like to feel that they would put a smile on Geddy's face because we're all musicians. We all live the same life. We've all been on the same journey. There are so many similarities, regardless of the music that you play and you enjoy and you perform. We live the same life. So yeah, it would be cool to maybe find out someday if they gave it a thumbs up.
All right, so tell us about this tour. What are fans gonna get when they come see you play on this tour?
Before we launch the Invincible Shield tour, we have the 50th anniversary tour for Judas Priest, which was again quite remarkable. We celebrated, we went completely across the references of most of our albums that we've made. So it was just a little bit of a, hey, let's look at what we've done, you know, from that very first album to where we were to the last record, Firepower. Let's just take a jump into the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. Let's see how the music that we've made has kind of made some changes and embraced the way the world has moved. And we bring all of this into the way that we present our metal. And so we took care of business with that, TCB, Elvis. It's almost like a refreshing start. Is that a crazy thing to say all these years later? Because I think when any musician, any book writer, any filmmaker presents something that they've created that has never been done before, it does bring an energy, it does bring a vitality. So we've got all that in this particular Invincible Shield tour, the worldwide tour we're going on, around the planet again. Because we have our beautiful metal maniacs that want to see this band over and over. whether they're in Japan, Indonesia, South America, we get to your shores eventually. It's a case of, hey, everybody listen to this band. Listen to what we're able to do all these decades later with the same kind of love and dedication and motivation and freshness. And here's some new songs and here's a new album and here's a new tour. So let's get back together and enjoy it one more time.
And tell us about your cancer scare. How are you doing now?
I'm good. Thank you so much for asking. I'm in remission. I always take an opportunity to thank the Lord for me being here still, but also my great medical team. And guys, be proactive. Make sure you get your blood work done, your PSA checked, you know. It's been interesting. You've probably been following what's happened to King Charles back in London. And he's putting a public face on this. And it's a beautiful thing because you cannot push the message enough for people to be aware and for ladies to have mammograms, for guys to have prostate checks, for all of these things. You can stop it. And even if you are caught by the early signs of cancer, wow, what a great place we're in now compared to when I was a young kid growing up. I was born in 1951, and that really was a kind of a fatal time for a lot of people. So now the cancer health treatments has improved so incredibly. I couldn't believe how efficient and the love and the care and the attention that health workers give to each and every one of us. I had my prostate removed, had some meds and follow-up treatment, found a little bit more stuff, so we had to go in for 2 months of radiation treatment. You do what you've got to do. The important thing is to stay optimistic, stay positive, by love, by family, by healthcare people that want the best for you, so you can push through it. So anybody that's struggling with that right now, you know, keep that heavy metal faith with all the due care and diligence and attention, you'll survive.
Beautiful. I'm so glad you're okay. You get better looking every time I see you. How do you do it with everything?
It's lighting. It's the lighting. Look at Mick Jagger. I was looking at footage of Mick yesterday on YouTube. What an inspiration. What an inspiration, Mick and Keith and Ronnie. I love looking at that because it motivates me even more. I never knew I was going to be doing this at 73. And I'm so blessed that I am able to do this. And music is so beautiful, isn't it? You know, it's such an important part of who we are as people. In life, we need music. Doesn't matter what kind of music. Firstly, music makes you feel good. Music is good for the soul. Music is good for the spirit. You can have it privately. You can enjoy it in your own self way for self-healing, self-love. And then what better way than to be in a massive festival or be in a venue, you know, or be at a party or whatever it might be. Music brings us together. It's an absolutely glorious part of life. And that's what keeps the vitality going, for sure.
And 50 heavy metal years. Can you believe it?
No, I can't. I tried to touch on some of the things that have happened to me in my life in the autobiography, Confess, and then a little bit later on in the book, Biblical, which talks about pull the bed away from the hotel wall and then you won't feel the vibrations of the elevator. Stupid, but very, very useful stuff. All part of the journey. It's remarkable. You know, what can you say? You live your life day by day because, again, blessings from the Lord. I'm still sober, clean sober. 36, 38 years, who's counting? You live your life one day at a time. You embrace the moment. You live in the moment, you know? Yeah. Tomorrow hasn't happened. Yesterday's gone. Live in the now. Yeah. This is what's so important. And you add all that up together and you've got 50 years in heavy metal.
Did you always know you wanted to do this, be a musician?
I tell this story when I was a little kid, maybe 7 or 8 years of age. My school, they were putting a school choir together. And there was a class of about 20 kids. And the school teacher, the music teacher, she had a little piano at the front of the class, and she got each one of us to come to the front of the class and sing a song. We didn't know, but we were auditioning for the choir. So it came to my turn, and I sang a song, and I'll never forget the song for as long as I live. Speed Bonnie Boat. It's a beautiful old Scottish folk tale about Bonnie Prince Charlie. So I sing this song, and when I finish, some of the kids in the class give me a little round of applause. And you know, kids love attention, right? Kids love attention. The school music teacher, she said, can you do that again? So I sang it again. And then she said, come with me. She took me to a class next door and made me sing the song a cappella, because you always do what the teacher tells you to do. Sing the song a cappella in front of the class. And that has resonated for me. It's like a touchstone. I had no idea where that was going to go, but it was like a little fire in the heart starting this little kid, you know? And I've never forgot that moment. I always think that that was the first blessing I had that made me realize that this gift of the voice has got something to do. It's got something to do. Because music, again, does beautiful, powerful things for each of us. And so that's where that journey began for me, even before I became a musician. Mm-hmm. But it's such an important part of my metal memories that I never forget it.
Were your parents supportive of your music career?
Yes. You know, my mom always used to say to me, it's a simple mantra, if you're happy, I'm happy. Isn't that great?
Beautiful. Yeah.
Isn't that great for a kid to hear your mom and dad say that? Yeah. Particularly in your teenage years when you're going through the angst and you don't like this and you don't like that and you're pushing against this and you're pushing against that. But you have parents that support you, and if you're happy, we're happy. So yes, they were incredibly supportive to me. They still mean so much to me. After we're talking now, you know, here come the blessings, you know. Who knew we'd be talking about mom and dad? Your mom and your dad live within you when they go to the next place up there, and you draw upon their memories. You draw upon some of the things that they said to you as a young person, and you use them in your adult life. I couldn't have had the best parents.
They did good. What inspires you as an artist?
Everything and everybody. You know, the world is art. If I look out of my window here in the hotel in Chicago, and I can see the lake, and I can see the people on the streets, you know, or everybody's living life, you know, and that feeds ideas to me. I feed up the energy of a city life. I feed up the energy of the calmness of the countryside. They're all messages. They're all beautiful messages. You have to learn how to kind of tap into them, because we live at such a fast pace. You know, there are messages waiting for us everywhere. We just have to kind of take a breath and try and relax and think and take the messages in. So my inspiration can come from anything and anywhere, you know, watching a movie on Netflix, or listening to some other kind of music, talking with a friend, looking at something on the news, reading something on the internet. For musicians, the inspiration is endless. It's just a kaleidoscope, again, of possibilities. But you really need how to learn how to focus, push through all the action. You know, we live at such a fast-paced life now that it's all there. You just have to take a deep breath and think and relax and calm a little bit, and you'll find the intuitive needs that you require to make music.
What Netflix shows do you binge?
Oh, I've just been binging The Dead Boy Detectives on Netflix. It's this crazy show about these dead boy ghosts that are detectives, and they help find other ghosts, their place of peace. And I just love the acting. I love acting. Oh, I love how these incredibly talented actors can take you to magical places, much like music, you know. If I see my friend Yul Vasquez, on his many TV shows, and he always kind of plays a bad guy, I'm like, that's not the guy I know. That's not the Cuban American I met in Miami in 1984, 85, when we're making Screaming for Vengeance. But this is the power that actors have over us. They take us to a special place, don't they? And they're so talented that they're able to kind of switch into these different characters. So yeah, that. And I love my Avengers. I love potent, strong movies that have important messages, whether it might be about, you know, climate change or revolution or war or history. I'm a bit of a history buff. Life is for living and absorbing and taking as much into yourself as you can, especially if you can replay it and put it back out in the way that music is able to do.
What's your favorite song to play live? Do you have a favorite?
Ooh, okay. So I always pick this incredible track from the second album this band ever made, Sad Wings of Destiny. Sad Wings of Destiny was our second release. And we have a song called Victim of Changes. And I love that song simply because of the music. I could care less about what I'm doing. I just love the way the instrumentation of that particular song takes you to all of these different places in metal, in classic heavy metal. Priest is a classic heavy metal band. So the way the song begins, which you have a fade in, you know, a couple of lead guitars playing in harmony, and then you have this big colossal heavy metal riff, and the beat starts, and then there's a down bridge part section where things get a little bit quiet, and then it launches again into a great Glenn Tipton world-shattering guitar solo, and finishes with a high scream. So you've got all these different textures in one song. So that, for me, as much as there are many more, I always focus on that because that was an early track, but it still survived and we still play it live. And it's absolutely glorious how a song in 1975, 76 can make such a strong connection in 2024. That's the power of music. Music is timeless. It's timeless, you know, whether we listen to the Beatles, to Elvis, to Dolly, it's timeless. It's time machines because it takes us to places that we have great memories from songs from different people. You play a song that was me in high school, you play a song that was me on vacation. So the way that that song has been able to go through the decades and still have impact and connectivity, it's a very important track, Victim of Changes from Sad Wings of Destiny.
And how is Richie doing?
He's doing great. Hey, we're going to go back to that particular festival where he had the unfortunate incident. The Loud of the Life Festival in Kentucky. We're going to be going back there, I think, in September. Wow, you know, less than 3% of people are able to pull through that particular heart malfunction. A torn aorta, for a lot of people, can mean the end.
Yes.
But here we are again. We were playing our set. He was feeling something happening in this song, Painkiller, ironically. He was on the side of the stage clutching his chest. The crew called paramedics. We've got to get you to hospital right away. He was by one of the best health heart hospitals in the country. There was no traffic. The ambulance was able to leave the festival site because our friends Metallica were headlining. There was no traffic. The timing sequence of events plays a very crucial part here for Richie, from when his aorta tore to getting him into surgery for almost 13 hours of surgery. It's a miracle. His time, you know that phrase, your time's not up? His time most definitely was not up.
Yeah.
And his heart has all of these components inside of it now, metal components, metal valves. If you put your ear to his heart, it's ticking like the Tin Man from The Wizard of Oz, who eventually got a heart, you know. He always wanted a heart, Dorothy. It's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle.
He is.
And here he is on stage every night playing the guitar like the great guitar player, musician that he is, better than ever. We watched him grow and go from being a young, kind of a youngster in metal to this great place of importance and influence and inspiration to other guitar players. So thank you for asking about him. I'll pass on your good wishes to him. I'll see him later today.
Your voice, how do you keep it in shape, that voice?
Lots of this. Stay hydrated. I'm constantly slugging water 24 hours a day. Okay, so here's the deal. Normally when I have a day off, I don't do this, but I wanted to speak to you guys today. It's repair, because the voice is a set of muscles. You work out too much, you need to repair your muscles and rest and recoup. So that's what I do. I very rarely talk between shows, which is difficult for me because I love to talk. I love to meet people, I love to talk to people, but I do need to rest. I have to take it easy. And so lots of hydration. I need things during the show. When you see me wander off behind the drapes to do my costume, my quick share costume change, I'm also slugging boiling hot throat coat with honey and ginger. Little tricks like that help me get through the show. And it's also an instrument. It's also an instrument. You learn how to get the best performance out of the instrument. And again, I'm blessed and lucky that I'm able to still deliver the goods all these years later. Yeah.
It's better and better. What's your favorite comfort food?
It can be something as simple as a Kit Kat to a full-on fish and chips. I love my British food. I always will. I've lived in Phoenix, Arizona for many, many years. It's my home from home in the Valley of the Sun. I've been there since 81. And so I love my Mexican food again. I love my burritos and fajitas and tacos and so forth. But it's simple stuff. I'm not really much of a gourmet guy, you know. We go to a restaurant and they put something the size of a pea on your plate. And it's $150. No, thank you. I like it simple and easy. That's my roots. You know, I come from a very simple blue collar working class family. We never took anything for granted. You know, my mom used to count my dad's pay packets when he would come home from work every week to make sure we had enough money to get through to the next week, you know, to the next pay packet. So, the simple things, yeah. Keep it simple, definitely.
What's one thing you never travel without?
I have to have, again, my music's with me all the time. This phone is just full of stuff. I have to have my music is like, yeah. You know, I say I drink a lot of water. My music is my water. I turn on music first thing in the morning when I wake up. It gets me motivated, you know.
What do you listen to? So,
as I've moved on in life, I like to start the day with classical music. Classical music for about an hour, and then I put some Slayer on. And I love to start with, I tune into my local station back in Phoenix, K-Bar from the ASU campus. I play beautiful classical music. So that's the way I start my day, and they progressively gets more energized. And as I go on stage, I listen to my good friend, the late, great Ronnie James Dio, who constantly inspires me with his vocal expertise.
That's what I was going to ask you next. You've influenced so many musicians. Who have influenced you?
Well, Ronnie's one, as I've said. You know, I'm going to probably use a lot of singers here. My friend Robert Plant, my friend Roger Daltrey, my friend Ian Gillan, who has a new album out right now. Incredible. And then some of my lady friends like Lizzie Hale and Mariah from In This Moment and Dolly. Love my Dolly. Who knew that the metal god was going to sing with Dolly Parton at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Is that amazing or what? Streisand, I'm a gay, so I have to have my Barbara, who I saw in concert a few times. And that's just like watching, you know, some ethereal goddess sing. Her voice is just wow. So there's a few, you know, all of them. Willie Nelson, love Willie's voice. Elvis, love Elvis's voice. Sinatra, love Sinatra's voice. You know, everybody and everywhere. Singers are just very extraordinary people in the way that this is the instrument, you know. We don't pick up sticks or play keyboards or hold guitars. The instrument is within us. So when we perform, it's coming from a very, very special place.
And I asked you this before when you just said it, when you came out ahead of your time with even that, doing that all those years ago. Do you think people looked at you differently or looked at you different as a musician when you came out?
I think there was a lot of people that were shocked. There was a lot of people that had to deal with their own phobia, their own intolerance. It was pretty remarkable. 1991, I think it was, or something. I can't remember the exact date. It was in MTV in New York, and I go, speaking as a gay man, blah, blah, blah. And the producer's clipboard hits the floor. I'm glad I did it in that way. It wasn't a kind of a pre-planned idea. I was just speaking from the heart like I always do. But it went around the world, you know. The greatest thing that came back to me was, we don't care. We love Rob, we love Priest, we love your voice, we love the songs, we love the band, we love the shows. That's all that matters to me. And I suppose because a lot of us, a lot of gay people, even now, particularly young people, you wouldn't think this, but this fear of rejection, people are not going to love me anymore, you know, from within the family, my school friends, my workers at work. Still a lot of that going on, nowhere near as much as it was when I was a young person growing up. I urge people, as and when they feel right and feel the strength and the power and the support that they need that surrounds and loves you, to step out and just say, hey, this is who I am, you know. This is who I am, there I am, you know. It's as simple as that, but it's very, very profound. Love is all you need at the end of the day, and love and acceptance for everybody, regardless of their sexuality, regardless of the color of their skin, their religious beliefs, whatever, what they eat, what they don't eat, how they look. It's wisdom. At this point in my life, I think I should know what I'm doing. You absorb life, you take everything in, and you try and find balance and harmony. Don't close your fist, you know, keep your hands open and welcoming.
Beautiful. What do you do with your kitties when you're traveling?
Ah, well, here's the thing. I don't have any kitties at the moment.
Oh, you don't?
No, it's difficult when I'm traveling. I'm one of these people that would have to have them with me all the time. And, you know, cats are fiercely independent. You know, cats really couldn't care less where they're at, although they do have, you know, a little bit like humans. They have their comfort zones and their places where they would prefer to stay. But yes, my other half, Thomas, and I, we're planning for retirement. We're going to be, you know, the cat ladies. We're going to be the cat dads. We're going to have a house full of cats. Cats roaming everywhere. We strongly support the spay and neuter stuff. Bob Barker, the great Bob Barker. We support some great animal welfare in Phoenix and kitten rescue in Los Angeles. Pets are like people. Pets can, for a lot of people, pets are their kids, you know, and we should love them and treat them like they deserve to be treated. But yes, at the moment, I'm cat free. I'm cat free. But we have cat a day every day, every week on my social media. You'll see everybody putting that this is my cat today on Saturday. Saturday is cat a day.
What's something you want to do that you haven't done yet?
I met a friend the other day at the New York show in Jersey at the Prudential. Her name is Militia Vox. She's a great singer. She's in this band called Judas Priestess around New York City. We did a song together not too long ago for a band called Bad Penny. Really great song. She has a great voice. And she was saying to me, have you ever done Broadway? I'm like, Broadway, are you kidding me? You should think about Broadway. And I don't know if that's ever a possibility. I don't know. You know, I don't have the opportunity to see many Broadway performances, but those that I have seen are just mind-blowing. You know, I don't know how they do it. Maybe that's something, I don't know. It's never too late in life to do something that you dreamed of. Maybe I'll be a chorus boy somewhere in the not too distant future.
A little acting, since you like acting.
I've done a couple of things in that world. Those people are experts, like I was just saying about my friend Yul and Norman Reedus from Walking Dead. He's grown his own great series. He's in Paris at the moment, and we text each other. And I just have tremendous love for that guy and respect for the work that he does, because they make it look so easy, but it's not. You know, they're just so good at what they do. So there's a couple of things. We'll see. Who knows?
What else do you want to tell us that we didn't cover? Anything else?
We've been to a lot of places. It's been great. I've really, really enjoyed this chat. Aww. So thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you so much. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me. I love talking to you. You're such a beautiful person, and I wish you health and happiness and a wonderful tour.
Been my pleasure. Look after yourself. I hope we meet again. It's going to happen. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Rob.
Enjoy the rest of your day. Bye-bye now.
To see more of this interview, visit our website, lifeminute.tv. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Life Minute TV.